too. I have Senator Atkinson wanting to talk to us and persuade us to do some things that we probably were intending not to do. But we will, if you'd like, Senator, the experience that I have shows me that until I bang the gavel, it takes at least 5 minutes after that before the senators begin to arrive. If you'd like to wait for a couple of minutes, and we can start out with Mr. Henderson maybe getting the chair and the Representative Beyer and, you know, up to date with where we were yesterday and where he kind of wants to go today. And in all fairness, Mr. Henderson, I could advise you that the chair has no real reason that they have to spend the full hour and a half in the committee hearing. It's not that they're not willing to do that. They'd be happy to do it, but if you find yourself just trying to consume time so that we're, you know, please don't feel obligated to do that. You can finish on a whatever schedule you have in that.
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to respond to any questions. thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Beyer. I'm Dave Henderson, Legislative Administrator. I would like to introduce Darwin Doss at the beginning of this meeting. He is in the back of the room. Mr. Doss is the original project architect who has worked with us throughout this project, and in fact, this is just the latest in a long line of projects that he has worked on here in the building over the last 25 years or so. Unfortunately for us, in the intervening time between when the project was moving forward in 2002 and now, Mr. Doss has somewhat retired, but he has been gracious enough and willing enough to come out of retirement to come and help us on the project at this point. And I invited him to be here today should any of the members of the committee have technical questions or questions of the nature that that he might be able to respond to. So if at any point it would be helpful for him to respond to questions, he may come up and do that. He does have another commitment, so he can only be here for about an hour, but he was willing to come in today and be here. I want to talk about some various aspects of the renovation project today. I'd like to touch on the timing of the project. I'd like to touch on where we are with planning for relocation of the various offices in the building. I want to talk about the implications to the special session. I want to address the issue of communications about the project. I want to talk about some decision-making process that we need to get established for the project, and then I want to close with some comments about long-term planning for the building. As far as the timing of the project is concerned, assuming that the entire legislature agrees to move forward with the project, our assumption is that that decision would come sometime toward the end of June as you're wrapping up. The plan would have us submitting the drawings for the house portion of the project to the City of Salem the first week of July. We have to pay a filing fee at that time, and there is money that is savings in the Legislative Assembly budget that has been designated to use to pay that. Then
it's July 07.
That's July 07. Yes, Mr. Chair. At that point, in June, we will have a guaranteed maximum price from the contractor. And that can obviously and will obviously factor into the final decision. Assuming that that guaranteed maximum price is in line with what we have been projecting all along, we would proceed at that point, and we would put the contractor on contract. They would open the bidding process for the subcontractors the first week of July. They would, in that process, definitely pursue and make available the subcontracts to all subcontractors, and particularly giving notice to the women, minority, and emerging small business contractors so that they would have every opportunity to bid on and receive portions of the work. We are at this time working on some revisions to the Senate floor plan. Everyone has pretty much signed off on the House floor plans, but there are issues that have been raised about the Senate floor plans that we are addressing with a couple of new alternatives that we will be presenting.
Representative Bates. Thanks. Senator Bates, excuse me.
Whatever. I don't even know who I am anymore anyway, you did fine.
Okay.
You say everyone signed off on the House side. Who's everyone?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, the leadership on the House side have signed off on the plans as they exist. So the Speaker of the House, the Majority Leader, and the Republican Leader have all signed off on those plans. To what extent the detailed plans have been shared with all of the members, I can't say. I can tell you that we held a briefing in November of last year for members to come and view the plans and make comments. The thing that we face is the House plan is pretty much the existing floor plan with members and staff space. There were significant changes on the Senate side that have led to some objections that we are addressing right now with our revisions of the Senate plans.
You know, the difficulty here for you and for us is that, you know, every 2 years things have a tendency to change a little bit, and last November things changed a lot. Okay. The footprint for the House side is pretty well settled. I mean, you've only got so much space there and you're pretty well utilizing it all, so your options there may be somewhat limited. But I would think that with the huge change that occurred on the House side in the last election cycle, that maybe having gone back and talked to some of the newer members and some of the members who were older members about whether they felt comfortable with that floor plan might have been a wise thing to do. Now, this is now May, okay? And just to make sure we have complete buy-off, this committee asked to vote this thing up, down, or sideways, and they expect committee work to get done. There's been a huge amount of work done in the interims of the last 6 years trying to put this thing together, and I don't want to stand in the way of that. I don't want to lose that because we'll go through another election cycle and be back to square one again. So we want to keep moving this thing forward. But I think just a little bit of a pause here might be a wise thing to do. And you and I can have a discussion away from this committee, or we're not up here publicly to discuss it, but I would like to see us just take a deep breath here, with our goal being that we continue the construction plan, we get this thing done, but make sure we really know where we're going, and we have buy-off from the House side. I know you haven't got buy-off completely on the Senate side. Leadership very much wants this to go forward. I've talked to President Courtney about it already. He has the same concerns I do. If we don't do it now, we lose it, or we delay it. And things just we go back to square one every 2 years. We don't want that to happen, but we do want a little more planning here. And so I would like to, as we go through this today, I hope we're not going to try to reach a decision today. Mr. Chair, is it your desire to reach a decision here on this week or today?
I'm not on a real heavy time. Not on a fast track.
Thanks. So we got a little
everything
time
in
here.
The building seems to be on a fast track, but I'm too old to be on a fast
thank
track.
Thank you. I appreciate your age and wisdom. Thank you. Okay. So I'd like to continue your discussion, but I want to kind of slow this down a bit and have an opportunity to think and talk about it.
Okay? Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, we would be most happy to sit down with all of the new House members and the returning House members and go over the plans with them and see if there is any input at this point that that they would like to offer. We'd be most happy to do that.
Senator Johnson.
The piece of this that's still missing for me is, where does the public get to weigh in? I'm thinking about ODOT big highway projects and going to open houses and seeing the schematics. And I certainly am not making a brief to invite the public in to decide which hue of blue is the best color for the carpet. But I think at some point, you know, I could picture in the rotunda having the poster boards up of what the wings remodel looks like. The thing that has bothered me the most about this is that somehow the perception that if the leadership offices on both sides buy off, that then we've got a green light. I would envision some role for the public in this. We're coming up on Oregon's sesquicentennial. Frankly, as a board member of the 150th birthday committee, those guys are looking for engagement. The Capital Foundation, as you know from conversations we've had, is looking for engagement. And I just don't see those touch points with the public. It feels as though this is all inside baseball. And as long as the House and the Senate leadership buy off, that we can go ahead and spend as much as $100 million, depending on what the project scope is at this point. And again, I don't know what that is. Believe me, I am not trying to insinuate a whole bunch of little baby micromanagers in this, but I have watched with awe as congressional people who I admire, notably Senator Hatfield, was going to undertake some big project in Congress, sending out field people, getting buy-in, making sure that when he looked over his shoulder and said, "Isn't that so, guys," that there were some guys back there. And this doesn't feel like that at all. And there are so many opportunities, I think, to engage in a kind of fun, interesting way for Oregonians so that they can feel a piece of ownership in their capital. I'm thinking about just looking at these chairs. As the old furniture cycles out, what happens to the stuff that's in here? Fundraisers. I mean, I could see raising money for the Capital Foundation, selling some of the old stuff that's in this building that would just go to the surplus scrap heap, basically. But I don't see the piece that engages the imagination of Oregonians or anybody else outside this building in the refurbishment of the people's capital.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, I appreciate those comments. We did have extensive meetings of the Facilities Committee of the Public Commission throughout the last interim. There was public attendance at those meetings. There was fairly extensive media coverage of the discussion at that time. We did conduct some tours to show the members of the commission the issues that we're trying to address with the project. Your idea of fundraising with some of the furniture, we have had those discussions, and it is our hope that we are able to do some of that within the limitations that we have as far as disposal of surplus property. But you're absolutely right that is an opportunity that we need to take advantage of.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Again, on a unique undertaking that only happens every 5 or 7 decades, if you need help getting amendments to the statutes that guide disposal of surplus furniture, or you need rules rewritten, I'm looking for that spark of imagination that makes people want to get behind this project and say, "I somehow had buy-in for the next 50 years of this grand building." And it just doesn't feel that way. It feels like this sort of pedestrian, mechanical, and we're going to spend $100 million.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I understand completely, and I'd like to work with the foundation and what other organizations are available. I did have an opportunity to talk with Barbara Sidway a couple of months ago about the role that they could play in this process. We've not closed the loop on that at this point, but we certainly would be happy to work with those groups to generate that kind of public interest.
Alex, Barbara Sidway is the chair of the 150th anniversary celebrations.
We're going to interrupt and bring Senator Atkinson if you will indulge me, members. Senator, welcome to the Subcommittee on General Government.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for letting me feel so welcome. For the record, I'm Jason Atkinson, a state senator representing the spark of imagination. I've been watching this subcommittee for a few days, and it was a conversation I had.
Senator, don't you have a... Don't you have a wife?
I'm in the minority.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
But this is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart for a whole variety of reasons. And I just thought I've been listening to the conversation, and I thought I'd just jot down just a couple of things that might provide just a little bit different perspective. And as I was sitting here this morning, I don't know if you all know what a historic view you have, but as you look at this tree right here, this is where the only fatality happened in the first burning, or the burning of the second Capitol building. The old Capitol used to face west. The only hint we have to that now is the gold man, or as my four-year-old calls him, Oscar, looking to the west. Wednesday is a special day. Wednesday, my son is across the street at preschool, and after the Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade meeting, which is a society we started here 6 years ago celebrating the history of the building and public policy, I pick him up, and we have a ritual of walking through the spinning doors, walking to the governor's office, walking to the old historic phone booths out there where we have to shut the door so the lights comes on, and he says, "You get in that one," and then he yells on the phone as we talk on the phone. Then we walk to Sherry's office. It's my assistant. He thinks that's where his dad works, Sherry's office. And he runs right to the water fountain, and every time he says, "Can I drink out of it?" And I say, "No, that water's, you can chew it with a fork." And then we go to work. There's a perspective here, I think, that we all understand as legislators that, yes, it makes more sense to do it now. It's cheaper now. We all understand the fiscal ideas and impacts. We all, and if you haven't been either on one of my tours or with Herb, put on the hard hat and understand the safety element that we're facing here, especially in the wings. I mean, quite honestly, they're not safe. But I'm going to leave you with a different perspective, and that is that we can sit here all day long and try to decide processes and decide things by management of a balance sheet and forget the complete passion, I think, that Senator Johnson was just talking about. This building is, with all respect and love, is a national embarrassment. There is no state capitol that is as run down, as poorly managed, and as ship-shaped junk as ours is. There isn't. I have traveled... been very fortunate to go to many of the remodels that have been done. Montana's is gorgeous. Kentucky's is gorgeous. Even up the road and down south, Sacramento, Olympia, gorgeous. Ours is a dump. Let me tell you that there is no public school building in Oregon that I'm aware of that is in as bad shape, and I live in a rural district, so I would know, that is in bad shape as this building is right here. I had the privilege when I was sworn in this last, two sessions ago. I had a very historic thing happen to me. I had both my grandmothers with me, and I just lost one of them a couple of months ago. One of them's Republican. So proud of me. I'll tell you lots of stories about her. And the other one is a fire-breathing liberal Democrat. Don't call me a Democrat. She says I'm a liberal Democrat, Reagan hater to the core. She threw off a bunch of Republicans, but that's another story. I brought them up out in front of the Capitol and greeted them there. The first thing both my grandmothers are gardeners. First thing they look at is a porta potty, Capitol Mall. Seriously. I take them in the building. The next thing they notice is brass that's like scuffed. And then I take them to my office, orange. And they look at my one legislative assistant shagging all those phone calls. And my one grandmother, who I just lost, she said to me, she says, "You are going to get this cleaned up, aren't you?" I mean, she grew up right on the Capitol Mall of Sacramento. So we've got there's a perspective here that I want to have you. Now, my closest ally in all this discussion is President Courtney. We've been working on three elements of this. For about a year, and there's the three elements are this. The first one is the mall, the second one is the old building, and the third one is the wings. And these have nothing to do with us. They have everything to do with what kind of shape do you leave this? Do you actually leave the building better than you found it, or do you just do what I always laugh about, which is having interim committee, which is a task force of a blue ribbon panel, which will have another subcommittee, which, as all of you know, gets nothing accomplished ever. So let's break it down. Here's a couple of points that's very interesting to know. The executive offices have no jurisdiction over this building. None at all. They have no jurisdiction over the city block either. The complete jurisdiction of the building that we sit in is not the legislative, or it's not the executive, it's not the treasury, it's not the secretary of state. It is completely 100% within the purview of the legislative branch of government. Now, over the last 20 years, if you look at the history of us, we have allowed the legislative branch of government to rust. It has rusted. We are not an equal level playing. It's not co-branches of government balance of power. It is the huge executive, the very powerful judiciary, and the completely weak executive branch, legislative branch. The executive branch has this whole building right under here. They have the middle of, certainly the middle offices, and the same is true for the other two office holders. And we've allowed that to happen. Because we have never invested, and I say we as a historic legislative body, we have this idea that the House and Senate have to be absolutely equal. So we pay the same, we have the same staff allowances. Well, let me tell you, last year I was in this little campaign for something, a little different office around here. And in so doing, I met a lot of people. Well, now they all think that I'm their state senator. I have one person answering about 400 emails a day in no confidentiality with their finger in their ear trying to answer with no office space. We have a fourth floor in the Senate that is not a Senate office space. It's space that, quite honestly, my fellow senators need desperately. There's no other state in the no other state capital that has a lobby message center where people who are paid money to make money off of lobbying has their own office. And yet that is part of the legislative rust. I'm not pointing fingers, but that's part of the erosion of the legislative power that we've allowed to happen. I was thinking this morning in the shower about coming in for this, which is really does show that I don't have a life. But we do have the world's only Art Deco Capitol decorated in a Brady Bunch mentality. I mean, that's like a Brady Bunch horror movie if you think about it, if you get here early enough in the morning, orange and purple and whatever. But let's get down to the facts. The facts are this. We have concerns as a legislative body about the plans and the implementation of the restoration of the building. And Senator Johnson, you're absolutely correct. I mean, absolutely dead on. This is our one chance. This is the only opportunity we have with the legislative will. And if you look at the outside chambers of both the House and the Senate of the wings, you'll see two names. You will see Phil Lang and you'll see Jason Bowe. And it was the leadership of those two gentlemen, especially with Jason Bowe, who said, by God, we're going to get this done somehow, despite what the newspapers say, despite what the legislative, whatever, we're just going to get it done. And they got it done. That's the kind of leadership that we have to have here today. Do we all agree on the plans? Absolutely not. I mean, we just haven't. Share the concern that we can have buy-in and we can have task forces, we can have commissions until the cows come home and no one's going to get it. At some point, we have to say this is the plan. Have we made all those things about the fourth floor in the Senate? No. Have we decided about the lobby message center? No. We haven't. But what we shouldn't do, Mr. Chair, is allow the leadership just to kill this bill, which is our only opportunity with this kind of money in the budget to bond and actually do it. What we should do is we should bond now and figure out and have this subcommittee, for crying out loud, put in the time constraints of what it needs to do to get the job done. We haven't agreed on the path yet. Fine. But don't forget the bigger part of the thing is if we punt this till February, it won't happen in February. I'm a veteran now of six special, not-so-special special sessions, and I'm telling you, it won't happen. And if we put it off to the next legislature, it won't happen. This is our only opportunity to bond. This is it. If we don't do it now, we will not do it. We'll cut around the edges. Let me tell you where we are on the other things, and I say we, President Courtney and members of the Senate. We have created a bill to make this a state park, just like they do in Washington, D.C., just like they do in a lot of other states, especially in California, to make all of this representative of all of Oregon. So flora, fauna, this will be the most beautiful state park in the system right here on our Capitol Mall. Here's the other thing, and I've talked to the governor about this, which proves to you yet again, Mr. Chair, that I have no life. Talking about this very speech that I'm giving you now to the governor, in which I said, Governor, this is our only opportunity. But Governor, we have to keep in mind that if we do not get the people's buy-in, if we do not get the House's buy-in, I say it precisely, we won't get this done. He said, Senator Atkinson, whatever do you mean? Well, here's whatever I do mean, and that is, quite frankly, that the Senate, we, most of us have served in the House, and if you look at the experience level just by, and I say experience generically, just by the amount of time served, the Senate is far different from the House. And here I am talking to the governor, serving the House, serving the Senate, serving the Insurance Commission, served as a Supreme. They hate it when you call him that, by the way. But was a Supreme and now is an executive. And he did not know about the brass. And if the governor didn't know about the brass, I doubt very strongly that the House members know about the brass. What's the brass? Thank you, Representative Edwards. Here's what the brass is. When Hatfield was here giving tours of this Capitol building, it was the brass that he would go and talk about. The old stairwells in the old part of the building are supposed to be architecturally designed, the most beautiful portions of this building. Natural light, skylight, brass is supposed to reflect all the way down to the bottom. And you know, we all know how dark the third floor is. We know why that is? Legislative rust. Our forefathers said, we don't want to get our name in the paper. We need to have a task force. So we're just going to put roofing material over the skylights. And we've all got used to it. The brass has not been polished in the old building since I've walked on the earth. And my wife's birthday is today, and she reminded me how old I am. So it's been a while. The stairwells have not been polished. So I was urging the same conversation we're having here. I was urging the Senate to make sure that when we bond the wings, we don't just do the wings, but we do the brass in the old building. Senator Atkinson, we've got to have the asbestos taken care of. We've got to have the pipes fixed. We got to have the earthquake stuff done in the dome, or the gold man is going to fall through. And I get all that. But what I want to make sure that we do, to Senator Johnson's point, if we don't polish the brass, if we polish the brass, all the House members, you all bring your grandmothers here, and you say, see how good this looks? And in one action, we can change the ethic of how we care about this place. It's not because Herb's guys aren't doing a good job. These guys want to do it worse than anybody around. So I would urge you this. Number one, we have the willpower now to act. Number two, bond. Let's figure out the details, but don't lose the opportunity to do this. It is completely in the purview of two people. Sad to say, there's 90 of us. It's in the purview of two people, president and the speaker. The president's ready to go. I don't know about Speaker Merkley, but that's what I implore you House members to do. This is our only chance to do it. Here's the last thing I'll leave you with. If you can go home after this session knowing you had the chance to fix this, sleep with yourself, go to sleep resting, yeah, I left it worse than I found it. Well, then kill the bill. If you want to actually go home and come back here next session saying, by God, I had a chance to leave it better for some other generation, then put every court press you can put on this bill and bond it. I'd be delighted to answer any tough question that you might have about timelines, about surplus selling things, about shades and hues of blue. I got very candid opinions about that. But the fact of the matter is this. We've got one chance, and this is it.
Senator Johnson, Senator Bates.
A comment and a question. The first comment is, all of us understand that this is the legislature's building. But what I think I've been pounding on is just communication, coordination, efficiency, courtesy. I just don't think to assert our legislative authority, we kick out the constitutional officers. I mean, this has to be part of a grander scheme. I agree with everything you've said. What I want is some assurance on execution. And when you talk about the gorgeous restorations of some of our sister states, it feels like we've got a blank piece of paper. I don't know why we shouldn't hire some of the consultants that have done those. Find out which were under budget and on time. Find out the success stories from other places and maybe bring one of those people in as a consultant. Mine is a problem of execution. I have absolutely no problem moving the Wings Project forward, but I want some degree of certainty that we're going to be able to deliver a gorgeous project with some public buy-in and that we didn't just do it inside baseball in some little hearing room. And I would agree with everything you've said about how bad and shabby this place looks. This room is Exhibit A. We also have to have some discipline in, once this is all fixed up, not making it look like a frat house absent the beer cans. We've all got this junk pinned up on the walls. My office looks like I'm raising wolves in it. I mean, we have some responsibility to take care of this place and be good custodians and stewards while we're here. I agree with everything you've said. It is a matter of having the degree of assurance that we can pull this off efficiently, cost-effectively, on time, and under budget. And right now, I don't have that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, if it's a matter of writing a note of assurances, then let's work on the Senate floor today and write that out. I know we can get there on that. But I would respectfully disagree that I think we have a culture in our legislature where we don't think that we have any authority around here. I mean, the entire debate we have is between the governor's recommended budget and some agencies' budget. I mean, it's and this is more academic than anything else, but I do not think that the legislature exercises its authority when it comes to the executive. Now, if things were different and I was in the executive, I would probably urge that the legislature stay weak and I could railroad them. At the same time, if I were in the executive looking to get kicked to the curb, I'd make him, great, I'll go fish. Maybe the governor would like to fish till steelhead season's over and have a great time. The fact of the matter is that a certain degree of communication is absolutely paramount, but To have the executive branch poo-poo what we need to do to fix this place up, to me, is insulting.
I haven't heard that happen.
Well, I have not found the degree of cooperation when it takes to restoring the building from the executive that I would have liked to have seen.
Well, that's not my experience.
That's been my experience.
Senator Baker.
Senator Acton, thank you for coming down today and giving us your insights. Frankly, I agree with them. You've heard us speak in this committee already this week. You've been listening to us. This is not a committee that is widely watched, but in the last week and a half, it has been widely watched. I think what you're telling us, and I agree with, is that the condition of this building is a reflection of how we run the legislature, how we fund the legislature, all the way from what we pay our salaries, what we do for staff, how well we take care of the public when they come to see us, and what this building looks like when they come in. And I've had people come from my part of the state who have not come to Capitol before and walk down the hall to my office and been just appalled, absolutely appalled. There are some public schools in bad shape as this one is, but not many. And it's a reflection of how we've tried to run this state on the cheap as far as the legislature is concerned. You know, when you walk into a courtroom and you see the judge sitting above you with a robe on, there's a reason for that, because his presence there has to be done with a certain amount of honor to it. And what he says and what he decides is important, not only because of the situation he's in as a judge, but the presence he has is important. We don't have that presence anymore in this building, and we're rapidly losing it. It's reached the point now that we're not even really discussing those issues. We're discussing issues of, is it safe to drink the water? Is the old aluminum wiring from the 70s, which never should have been put in, should that be replaced before this place burns down? We've let it go to that point. I personally am dedicated to moving the funding portion of this forward in this session. I've said that yesterday, I say it again today. I'm going to hand out a sheet of paper here, which the chair has just seen, about what I think are the immediate steps that need to be taken in order to move this forward so people have enough buy-in immediately to get this off the ground. And then some long-term planning, which I think Senator Atkinson is just about what you're talking about. Where are we going to go with the governor's office? Where do we go with the treasurer's office? Where do we go with the Secretary of State's office? What do you do with things like the media center downstairs? Is it appropriate to even have here? Those are long-term decisions that can be made between now and 09 when we come back in. But for right now, I believe we need this off the ground. I thought we made a terrible mistake in 2001 when we were ending a recession and an opportunity to do what we're talking about now for $17 million, and we backed off it because we were afraid of what the impression would be when we got some negative newspaper reports on it. It would have helped regenerate the state. It would have been great jobs. Interest rates were about 4%, and we could have got this job done and over with and now be in the process of planning for the next 50 to 75 years for the Capitol building, the Capitol grounds, and the mall. So we missed an opportunity there. I'm afraid we'll miss that opportunity again if we don't move forward. But Senator Johnson is absolutely correct. If we don't have some assurance that we are doing the rudimentary things that need to be done first, it's going to be difficult to get this not only out of committee, but across the floors. So I've outlined a quick and dirty look at something I like to have other members of this committee look at in the next 24 hours, if they'd be kind enough to, and put comments on and get it back to the chair and see what you think, if this is something we can all agree to and get this thing moving and rolling. And the chair may disagree, others may disagree, but I'd like to have you look at that and see what you think of it, mark it up, and I'll give you copies of it. This is just my first thoughts on it.
Senator, do you have copies already made?
I do.
Oh, okay.
It's just a first and dirty look at it.
Thank you.
I would certainly like everyone to look at it and bounce it back to me and see if it's something that's really not a good idea or a good idea. But there's got to be some reassurance that we get this thing done as much as we can the right way and do it now. Do it now.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. I need to excuse myself. Thank you, Senator Bates. The assurance I want is the brass. If any of you want to go see it, I'll show you where it's at. This place could look so good for such little money that we would all love it again.
Senator, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate very much what you're saying, but just for the record, I don't think I'll be bringing my grandparents, regretfully. But,
Mr. Chair,
I'd be happy to be an escort for anybody else's grand.
Mr. Chair, it is a member of your district that gave his life in that Capitol fire, and he has been made a monument in the Oregon Senate in a certain secret room, which I would be delighted to show you if you don't mind wearing a blindfold. So it's not that we don't celebrate days gone by, but we actually celebrate your district. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fix the wings. Polish the brass.
Okay.
Can we have a polishing party?
Go ahead. Senator Witches.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention, I really do believe that this building is a symbol of the legislative branch and what has happened to it. It has been completely marginalized. We represent the people, not the government. And I think our budget this year exemplifies how badly we've lost our way. Our essential budget level prioritizes every state employee at the same level. I don't think that's what we're about. And I'm very much in favor of fixing this building. I'm more in favor of fixing the institution.
Institutional rust. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just one observation on the plans here while we're changing. I note that the designers are still in the rust zone with the office space and all of the room for paper storage that they have built into the office space there. But certainly as we move into later years in the 21st century, we might not need all of those. I've got three cabinets, file cabinets. Anybody needs a file cabinet, please stop up. I'll get somebody with a tractor, trailer sort of thing to move it over to your office or wherever you want it for you.
Mr. Chair, I note that you're being serenaded now. Is that normal for this committee that you have voices of angels outside?
Yes.
We plan it that way.
I was just talking about the Senate floor plans, and it struck me as Senator Atkinson was talking, the plans that are in your book were designed, or were the development of that started in the era of term limits. And frankly, I had forgotten that fact, but the Senate floor plans that you will see in there reflected the desire to accomplish a couple of things. And it was a desire expressed by the stakeholder group that I mentioned yesterday that had all six leadership offices, all the statutory offices, the support offices, fiscal council, revenue, administration, and also the desks, the chief clerk and the secretary of the Senate. The goal was to bring the caucus meeting rooms for the Senate back into proximity with the caucus offices. That had changed in the late 90s, as there were policy analyst positions added to the caucus offices, they needed office space, so we basically took over two rooms outside of the immediate vicinity of the Senate caucus offices for meeting rooms and converted what had been the meeting rooms into office space. So the plan as it was drawn reflected the desire to bring the caucus meeting rooms back onto the proximity of the caucus offices. In addition to that, there's great disparity in the office sizes of the senators, the staff space for the senators. Some have fairly large amount of staff space, some have a minuscule amount of staff space. On the House side, there are very little variations from office to office. There are some, but very little. So there was a desire at that time to equalize the space for the Senate staff. Unfortunately, that meant most senators got less space for their staff. Now, the plans that you have in your book, I want to say this, I think I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. Those are no longer valid. We understand that there has been enough concern expressed by members of the Senate and staff people on the Senate side that the Senate plans that you see are not the current thinking. We are working right now with the architect to develop two alternatives. Senator Bates, I believe, mentioned the fourth floor of the Senate. One alternative, in fact, both alternatives involve some degree of space on the fourth floor of the Senate wing going to member offices, whether it be a small number of offices or the entire fourth floor. So that work is taking place right now, and we will have some designs to put before what I'm going to talk about in a little bit about a decision-making group to assess them and come forward with a decision as to how we do proceed. Where we're going to get into a
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. Dave, would you consider having some staffers at those meetings with the architect as you develop these two new plans?
Absolutely. In fact, Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, I had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to show the preliminary drawings of one version to one of the Senate staff people who had expressed concern. And the input that I got then was that it was movement in the right direction. There wasn't complete buy-off on it, but the input that I received was this is better than what had been talked about in the past.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would suggest if you would be kind enough that that any time you have a meeting with the architect, if at all possible, staff members are invited, and maybe four or five key staff members from the Senate side should be at those meetings. You will gain not only some insights of what they think they need, but you will gain allies and bring this plan back. And so I strongly suggest that you ask those who want to attend to attend. And you'll probably only get a handful, maybe less, but it's important those people have input as you develop that plan.
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, my request relating to that would be that perhaps the caucus leaders, the presiding officers, someone designate a number of people who could represent the staff interests. If we get 30 or 40 or 50 people at a meeting, you know how difficult it is to come to any consensus with that large of a group. But certainly some representatives there to carry the staff input, and then perhaps they could relay it back to their fellow staff people. But by all means, we are totally open to having staff involvement in that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Where we get into a... Well, let me back up on the schedule.
Mr. Chair.
I don't know where that exchange ends. I don't know who now is responsible for doing that, whether you would go to the presiding officers and recommend that there be some staff selected. I mean, Senator Bates made a recommendation. You gave a counter, and the exchange has sort of ended. Who owns the problem at this point? How did the staff get included?
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, I've just had an opportunity to glance at Senator Bates' proposal, and I see that he has recommended four legislators and four staff. I would be happy to work with Senator Bates to come to closure on that. I mean, if if after the committee members have had a chance to review this proposal and the committee is comfortable with it, I would be happy to take the responsibility of working with Senator Bates to bring that to closure.
That's what I wanted to know. Just somebody owns the problem.
I will take responsibility for that.
Thank you.
As we work on the Senate plans, we are going to have a decision by August 15th. Working with the architect and the contractor, they say that to finalize the plans, to get them ready to go to the city, we must have a decision by August 15th. We can get there. That is not an insurmountable stumbling block to us. The move out for the house side is scheduled to start on August 1st. I've talked with Ken Rocco about the amount of time that fiscal needs to wrap up at the conclusion of session. I've talked with Paul Warner. They've both said that a month to wrap up that work before they have to start moving out is adequate. We are working right now on a survival kit, if you will, to share with all of you as members and all of your staff people on what will be expected of you at the conclusion of session to facilitate the process. And I'll go into a little bit more of that detail in just a little bit. But the house move out would start August 1st and be completed by August 15th. We would have 2 weeks of what they call mobilization for the contractor, and demolition would actually commence in the house wing on or about September 1st. At that same time, the move-out would start on the Senate side. We are working with legislative counsel right now because we recognize that they have a number of processes that they go through at the conclusion of session that they have to do as it relates to the amount of time that the governor has to either sign or veto bills and the beginning of the process of compiling the ORS. So we are working with them on what will be the best time to move them out physically. It may actually be that we want to start moving them out immediately upon the conclusion of session. It may mean that they need a week or two, and then we would move them. But generally speaking, the Senate move out would commence no later than September 1 and be completed by September 15th. So that then there's 2 weeks of mobilization on the Senate side, and demolition starts on the Senate side on October 1st. The construction is scheduled to be completed no later than November 1st of 2008. Some of the floors, based on what the contractor has told us, would actually be finished. They'll do it in a process where they'll finish the first floor and then the second floor and move on up so that fiscal council revenue would actually be moving back in, hopefully prior to November 1, and then at the conclusion of the election and when office assignments go on, the office spaces for the legislators themselves would become available as those decisions are made on where you will be locating at the conclusion of the process.
Senator Johnson.
One of the issues that Dr. Bates raised earlier was that of anticipating additional space requirements. And I don't know whether or not you have done that, or as you're talking about demolition and moving, let's say, legislative council back in, we heard testimony from Ms. Boss that they're at capacity. And those offices are not particularly functional. They've just sort of grown like little rabbit warrens back in there. Do your plans contemplate space for additional people, or have those offices had input into your design that would make the flow of information work better for them, or...
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, we have been in discussion with each of those offices about what their future needs are going to be for space, and we do have contingency plans if fiscal adds an audit function or adds additional budget analysts or fiscal analysts. We have contingency plans for that, contingency plans for revenue, not so much as it would be to, I don't think there's much discussion about revenue growing, but if fiscal needs to grow, do they grow into the revenue space? Where would we relocate revenue? We have had those discussions and some contingency plans. Council, we've identified where it makes the most sense that if they are going to grow, into what area they would expand, and the domino effect of how that would affect other offices.
Mr. Chair. You also talked about expectations of the contractor. What kinds of contracts do you contemplate executing? Contracts with penalty clauses in them, mean, I'm informed by a tour of duty at ODOT where I never saw a contract that wasn't reopened once it was executed, and it was never down. What safety valves do you have in your contracting procedures to make sure you're going to get deliverables on time and on budget?
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, as we reviewed the traditional design build or the traditional bid process, we arrived at the conclusion that a construction management general contractor process, which is known as CMGC, was the best process for us to use, where we could designate a contractor and work with them on the contract to address those issues. We have had preliminary discussions about building in incentives for early completion, penalties for late completion. So those discussions have taken place. I would defer, if he's still here, to Mr. Doss, if you want a more technical answer to that question as to what we can do as it relates to contracting.
In terms of the contracting procedures that are now in place, I'm Darwin Doss, architect. In terms of the contracts that are in place or are contemplated to be in place, they are generally a fixed amount contract or a guaranteed maximum amount. With the CMGC process, as Dave has mentioned earlier, he will have a guaranteed maximum upset price when you go into it. One of the difficulties that the contractor and everyone involved with this process right now is having is that we don't have a fixed entity to put a price on. Until the designs are completed...
What does that mean, a fixed entity to put a price on?
We don't know how many offices there are going to be, how many lineal feet of wall there will be, how much of that wall will be attenuated wall for soundproofing, where the ducts will be, all of those kinds of things that are affected by the changes that continue to occur as we go through the process. Once you do that, and once you establish a fixed document of what you're buying, what the carpet is, what the walls are, all of the things that are in there, then the contractor can put a price on it. Until that time, we work on estimates of the best probable construction cost.
Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair, I have to go out for a build signing at 9:30, 2007, and this is obviously a conversation I'm deeply interested in. I have questions about what happens in February of 2007 as we're going through this remodel with us in all likelihood being back here, how we conduct session with offices all torn up. I'd like to hear conversations about that. I'm sure you got plans. I'm sure this isn't a big surprise for you. I'd like to hear what the House members think about the design for their wing. I don't know if you looked at it or have you seen it or you know what it is. You know, the Senate has spoken pretty strongly on this. I don't know if the House has. Maybe your leadership has, but are the rest of you involved? Don't know. Maybe you are. But this committee is responsible for probably putting a bill out that says, hey, we're going to go and do this, which I think we should, and putting a bond out for it. And, you know, we need a little more information before we make that final decision, I think. But I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there. But, Mr. Chair, having said that, can I be excused just for a few minutes? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If you wish.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. 2007, so it's something I must have worked off for 6 years.
I hope the senator wasn't putting us in a time machine and coming us back. Thank you, Senator. I don't know. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think that we can respect Senator Bates' request, and I can talk a little bit about relocation planning that has gone on without it affecting what he asked as far as being involved in the discussion. As we proceed with this project, someone has to leave the building. There is no way that we can take all of the people that currently work in the wings portion, that being members and staff, and relocate them into the old portion of the building. There just simply is not enough space. discussions have gone on for quite some time about what is the best approach to take, and we have one alternative outlined right now. We have another alternative that we're working on, and I can give you briefly the details of those. We had discussions with the leadership offices at the time, and I, admittedly that does not reflect the wishes of the rank and file members, but at the time the leaders did feel that it would be more efficient for the legislature to have the legislature to the greatest extent possible stay in the building. That necessitated moving some of the current occupants out. And that's where we began those discussions with the governor, the secretary of the state, and treasurer last year, to let them know. It was shortly after the facilities committee of the public commission acted on the plan that we began those discussions with those offices. It was September of last year. Should we proceed with this plan and those offices are vacated, what we have identified right now as a plan would be to locate in each of those large spaces, the governor's 160 space, the treasurer's space, the secretary of state's space, one of each of the caucus offices. The House Democrats would go into one space, the House Republicans and other Senate Democrats. And then we've identified a fourth space on the fourth floor of the Senate portion of the building for the fourth caucus. We would take that space based on the size of the caucus, frankly, and put the largest caucus, the House Democrats, in the largest space and trickle down from there. In addition to the space for the caucus staff, we would take the remaining space in there and put in cubicles to the greatest extent that we possibly could that will include PCs, telephones, and working space for you as legislators. Senator Johnson and I met some time ago, about a month ago, and talked about this, and she expressed a great concern that she's going to be coming back for a special session, and at that time, one of our thoughts was your floor desk would be your working space. Needless to say, that would not be ideal, and based on her input, we've gone back and reassessed and said, okay, let's look at what we can develop so the members would have some space to work at that is not just their floor desk. We have also had discussions with our IS staff about the wireless network and making it available in the chambers. Right now it's not, but it would be, I believe that it available marginally in the chambers. It is there are not hubs there. Yes, but should the members wish to change their rules to allow that wireless hubs could be established in the chambers so that you would have computer access in the chambers at your desk there. We've identified space in addition to the four caucus offices. The president's office will have to move. We've identified space for that, and the chief clerk has to move, and we've identified space for that. Right now, the biggest challenges are, as far as relocation, are council and IS. As you know, the legislative bill drafting system project is underway right now involving replacement of the bill drafting system. So it's critical that we co-locate council and the portion of the IS staff that is working on that project. We are looking this afternoon at office space that is within about three or four blocks of the Capitol that is a sufficient amount of square footage into which we could move council and IS. We are looking at other spaces that would be adequate space to house fiscal and revenue. Mr. Warner did express interest in having those offices co-located, so that's what we will try to do, is have them co-located. But that would be off-site. Now, as I said, there's a contingency plan here. If there should be a decision, and really it boils down to the legislative leadership or the legislative administration committee making the decision about the constitutional officers, if there is a decision to allow them to stay in their existing offices, then what we would do would be to find space off-site to put in offices for each of you. We might be able to locate small caucus offices here in the building so that when you are in the building, you would have a place that you could go to use a phone or a computer or something like that. But under that scenario, if the governor, secretary of state, and treasurer stay, then we will identify space off-site to locate you. And again, it's not going to be anything elaborate, but you would have a workspace so that when you are in Salem, you could go and have telephone, computer, and the necessities to conduct business.
Have you done anything to poll the members about how much that we're actually, who's here in the off season? Because that might be quite instructive as well. If we had some way to pick up our phone messages from a distance, many of us were quite comfortably out of our district offices and aren't here, particularly the ones that live at great distance.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, we're working with the caucus offices right now to identify which members are here on a regular basis and which staff people are here on a regular basis.
How do they know?
I think that the caucus offices are in touch. Maybe I'm mistaken that
I mean, it might be that I've been so feisty and pugnacious on this subject, nobody wants to talk to me about it, but nobody has come and queried me. And I'm just using that as evidence of what I see as a profound failure to communicate. I think we could be quite helpful in saying, you know, with remote XYZ, I could work very comfortably in Scappoose and not come down here for 8 months. Or if I did, this is what my narrow bandwidth of requirements would be. I just need a telephone in some little corner somewhere.
We'll do that. And to your point about telephones, yes, the phone system will continue to operate. You can access your voicemail messages from remote locations. And part of the survival kit, as I put it, will have the instructions on how you go about doing all that. We are, as far as computers, we are upgrading our VPN system right now, which allows you from remote locations to access the legislative network. It will be easier and more reliable as we implement the new VPN system. So phone access and computer network access are definitely possible from remote locations.
I hope that planning for a new phone system is part of this whole design. That phone system is just about as effective as two tin cans and a string.
Chair Johnson, yes, that is part of the plan, replacement of the telephone system.
Okay. Senator Whitsitt.
No, getting back to what Senator Johnson was talking about in communication, I doubt if you know that I made 26 trips to Salem.
Senator Whitsitt, would you mind pulling the microphone?
You bet. I doubt if you know that I made 26 trips to Salem during the interim, that I was here generally in my office probably 2.5 days each one of those trips, because this is where the action is, not in Klamath Falls. And so each time I would come up, I would, you know, multitask. And so it would be, for those of us who live a long distance away, it would be something of a hardship not to have a place to sit down and do your work and during the interim, because it's a 9-hour round trip. So basically, you don't drive down here for one meeting and drive home.
Thank you. Noted. Thank you for that.
Madam Chair, Representative Byer.
Quick comment. This conversation kind of takes me back to, which was an odd thought, but when I had young children and babies before I dealt with this before microwaves, so you'd have to warm bottles in a certain way, and then I had. 10 years later, another one, and we had microwaves, and you got used to using microwaves to warm these bottles. And my microwave quit working on me one day, and I was lost. I mean, how am I going to warm these bottles? Well, that takes me back to the building and the fact that I have a cold, so always, I mean, their office was the floor of the house. I mean, that's how they did it. And now that we have this, we just can't imagine going back and maybe having to do that when that was just the way things worked in the past. So,
thank you. I think I might just comment on that, having had a parent whose office was on the floor of the house, and hearing how unsatisfactory that was. I think that was also in a different time. Legislators are now called to engage in all sorts of constituent issues, some of which are quite private. The lobby is much more active. There are more. I just cannot envision a mechanism by which having 90 of us on each side working at floor desk, I can't get there from here, and I am very pleased to hear that there's a plan B on that one.
Thank you. The next area that I want to get into is special session planning, and I know Senator Bates expressed interest in being here. I can hold off on that. I believe communications he wanted to address. One of my items, I'll jump down to this one, and that is a decision-making group and issue resolution process. I believe that Senator Bates's proposal potentially addresses that, where he says a group of four legislators and four staff to form a capital planning group that will do, and then he's got the three items there. That could serve the role that I have heard loud and clear that there is concern that there was not member involvement in the planning process that we've been through in the past. We need to address that and get member involvement at this point to make the decisions that still have to be made. So
I'm going to presume to speak for my colleague, Senator Bates. He put names in there. That was a bit of a surprise to some of us whose names were mentioned. I don't think those names are locked in stone.
Okay.
I think it's a concept of relying on the caucus offices to make sure that there was a clear flow of information is a good thing. But it might be a better thing to just cut some of us out of the herd and see what works. With the expectation that we would be conduits of information back to our colleagues. I mean, frankly, I don't know why there hasn't been some degree of regular reporting. All four caucuses meet during the session with great regularity. To the best of my knowledge, and I have missed precious few caucuses, there hasn't been an opportunity for Wings Update since we've been here.
Chair Johnson, you may recall that I think it was September 21st of last year, we were invited into the Senate Democratic Caucus, and we had the opportunity to present the Wings Update to that caucus. It was offered to the other three caucuses as well, and for whatever reason internally, they decided that they didn't want to take advantage of that.
November might have been a reason. I mean, for people in our line of work, that's a pretty hectic time, September, October, and the first week of November. It's that kind of apparent non-sync with the customer that you're serving. I don't think you invite your customer for a consultation on end product at the customer's busiest time of the year. And I guess that's where I get so fuzzed up about this. Well, we called you and you didn't come. Yeah, you called us when most of us are at the absolute busiest time of our year.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, that was unfortunate. What led to that was the Facilities Committee of PCAL took action in August.
PCAL.
The Public Commission, I'm sorry, took its action in August. We briefed the six leaders the first week of September. They felt then that the September e-board was a time when, and I think they all had caucus meetings scheduled at that time, would be a good time for us to do to be available for briefing. So we did that with the Senate Democratic Caucus. The others did not. We did schedule briefings after the election, and unfortunately, you're absolutely right, the schedule of the members is critical for us to work to that schedule.
Mr. Chair.
Do you have any opinion about whether or not inviting a consultant from one of the successful capital completion projects to visit Oregon and give us any degree of advice makes any sense at all?
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, absolutely. I do have an opinion, absolutely. I think it would be a good idea. And, in fact, that was something that I believe I mentioned in this committee meeting the other day was the idea of bringing on board a consultant to work with us should there be any issues with the contractor. And one of the options that at that time, maybe I didn't express it, it was in my notes, was that exactly what you've said. Bring in someone who managed one of the projects, whether it be the Washington project, the Montana project, any of those, bring them in for their input.
Follow it, Mr. Chair.
Follow
it. It's not if we have trouble with the contractor. I mean, it's no surprise to anybody right now. This project is in some pretty choppy waters. Ramona, Chief Clerk, has deep contacts at NCSL. I mean, she would be clearly, for me, a go-to person if I were sitting in your shoes and I saw my project in as heavy a seas as it's in and said maybe we should have somebody out here to at least take a preliminary look at our scheduling, our movement of people, our plan. I'm not asking them to have a deep familiarity with this building because they don't, but the cost of a plane ticket for somebody to come from Olympia or from Montana or from Virginia that we heard called out, Austin, Texas, I understand has had a magnificent restoration and probably on a scale that transcends our ability. But I would rather have somebody at the front end who says, yeah, based on our experience of delivering a project on budget and on time, I think this is doable. I don't want to wait until after we're in trouble with a consultant. I'd like somebody to come out and say, based on our experience in doing this right, we think you've got a fighting chance of doing it. I think what we're really looking for is not to be convinced that this is a worthy project. So all you have to do is look around this poor, sad, tired building to know that it's a worthy project. And is the political and the financial timing good right now? Yeah, it probably is. I think some of us are desperate for reassurance that we've got the team in place that can deliver this. And we just keep having this kind of circular conversation, and I don't see anything change. That's my difficulty.
Okay.
We can carry over tomorrow, then.
I believe you are scheduled tomorrow
for a work session on the bill. Is that right?
You do have to. Do you know soon? Yes. Correct.
Yeah. That's all of it.
Yeah. I think we can.
There will be time.
Are you at a convenient place to pause for the day, or do you have anything that you to get to a convenient place?
Mr. Chair, I think the things that I have left, Senator Bates expressed specific interest in hearing, so this is a convenient time for me to stop and come back and finish it up tomorrow.
Can we do that, then? We'll schedule, for purposes of your and your staff's thing, we'll schedule the work session first, so that and we'll do it. Hopefully, that shouldn't take us a lot of time. It may, but you can kind of watch the monitors and see how that's going, and so you don't misuse your time any more than we already are.
We'll be here and ready to go.
If no one has anything pressing right now. Representative Crumwell.
Mr. Chair, just one thing real quick. I noticed that in the papers here, it talks about the East Wing, which is the Senate side, and everything, and it's got everything from the garage to the fourth floor, but there wasn't anything on the House side. Did I miss something? Because I was late getting here. So
I have in the book I've got here, I have West Wing.
We'll get that for if it was.
There's several actions here.
Okay. It should have been there.
I'll get with Dave on that.
There's right here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Before I can even get.
Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much. We're adjourned. And could you?